Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Well, this morning I'm going to start a message, and I'm not really sure how I'm going to preach it, but I'm hoping it'll come out. The title of the message is On a Scale from 1 to 10. A little different type of message than I normally preach. But I just want to challenge us this morning and in God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we thank you, Father. Lord, we're thankful that we can come into your house this morning in this place. And Lord, that we can sense your presence, Lord, as we just have a time of worship and prayer and, Lord, a time of giving this morning. But Lord, when it comes to this moment too, I pray also, Holy Spirit, that you would just touch our hearts, that you would challenge us this morning to be better at what we do for you, God. And I pray that you'll just pour your Spirit, God. Give me the anointing and the unction from above this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the druggist of a town drugstore overheard a young boy talking on a payphone. So you can tell this story is quite old. He said, "Hello, sir. I was calling to see if you needed a lawn boy." "Oh, you have one? Well, is he adequate?" "Oh, he is." "Well, thank you. I was just checking," said the young boy as he hung the phone up. The druggist then said to the boy, "Sorry you didn't get the job, son." "Oh, no, sir," said the boy. "I've got the job. I was just calling to check up on myself and to see how I was doing." There's a proverb in the business world that the man who takes no inventory finally becomes bankrupt. When you don't take time to look and see how you're doing and what's going on in your businesses and things like that, you will go bankrupt. You know, it seems like today we can't do business with a company without them sending you that request on your telephone, whether you have purchased an item for $1.99 or you made a big purchase of a refrigerator. You get that text, "How did we do?" You get it from Lowe's, you'll get it from Walmart. Every time I go to get my prescription filled at Walmart, I get a little text, "How did we do? Give me a rating from 1 to 10. And they're not usually happy when you give them a reply, "You didn't do well." I did that a while back at a place, at a business, and I got a call. I thought, wow, I didn't want to call. But you know what? That spoke to me. They were genuinely interested in whether or not they had did a good job. And I have found many times when you do reply with a problem that they'll do with their best to try to fix that problem, is what I have experienced. So we know that. We understand that in this world that we live in the secular world that we live in, we understand companies that get the ideal of taking the inventory, companies that want to know exactly how our employees are out there and how they're addressing you as you come in as a consumer or as a customer. They're interested in that. But can I tell you this morning, this process should not be foreign to the Christian life. This whole ideal or the concept of how we're doing, it should not be a foreign thought to you and me as we walk and live our life for Christ Jesus. There should be those moments. You know, that self-examination, that is. That moment that we have a self-examination and start to look and see where we are in our Christian life and our Christian walk. I think if the world gets a hold of it, the church ought to get a hold of it also and have that in our lives. Or even when others we trust give us feedback on how we are doing. We all love to get feedback into our lives, don't we? Especially if it's good. You know, the Bible expresses this very thought of examination, self-examination. We find it in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. It says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." In 1 Corinthians 11:28, you've heard me say it when we take communion, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Self-examination is what it's speaking of. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." Examine yourself is what the Bible says. Self-examination is something that is not new or foreign to the Bible, nor should it be to the Christian life and those that call themselves a son or a daughter of God. It should be part of our life. Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Self-examination. Did you know that we can learn from the past in order to make a better future? We can literally learn from back there to make a better future for each one of our lives. Romans 15:4 expresses this very thought. It says in Romans 15:4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." Things written before, past stories of those Bible characters that we read of, genuine, real people that went through genuine problems and struggles and the things that we go through, they're written for our sake that we may learn from their past on what is acceptable and how God corrects us and how God gets us back on course. All these things are gathered from the past of other people. What for? That we may learn. That we may learn from those things back there. We learn about their relationship with God and His interaction with them and theirs with Him. Also, His expectations and desires and directions for their lives. We can learn from their past. And it's all for learning. So not only are we to have self-examination, but we need to understand why. Because we can learn from what we've been doing. We can learn from the things that we did. We can learn from the things that we did in 2024 and learn from those and perhaps have a better and brighter future when it comes to serving the Lord. You know, sometimes we never take time to look back. You know, I can go into the kitchen, I can make some bacon, some eggs and toast, get me something out of the cabinets, and I think I got everything put back up. After I get through eating, I look, I left every cabinet door open. I see what Robin sees. Sometimes I forgot to turn the burner off. Ooh. Different things. But listen, I'm saying today, sometimes we go through life and we never look back and see what kind of trail we left behind us. We go through, we don't see what we did, what we hurt, what we did right, what we did wrong. And we just go on, hey, had a great year. But I think sometimes we need to look back and see some things. You know, as many surveys are conducted with questions, this morning's sermon also will have questions. You don't need to answer them. But a couple of things I want to look at this morning briefly as we go through this preaching time. How was my relationship with God in 2024? How was my relationship with God in 2024? And how was my relationship with others in 2024? Two questions, I think, that we should be concerned about. Let's look at the first one. How was my relationship with God in 2024? And maybe while I'm preaching this morning, maybe we can rate ourselves from 1 to 10 on different things that I speak of and see how we were doing. Number one, am I closer to him or further away? Or farther away this morning? From the beginning in January of 2024 to right now, am I closer in my walk with him or am I further away? You know, Scripture tells us, did I draw nigh to him this year? James 4 verse 8 says this, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinner, purify your heart, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Now listen to what's been spoken in that scripture. If I'm going to get closer to God, I've got to get more of the world out of me and more of God in my life. And so I ask us this morning, this is not just for you, this is also for me. Because I literally want to look back last year and see what took place. Have I incorporated more things of the world into my life, or have I incorporated more things of God in my life this year? Am I more about God than I am the things of this world? You say, what are the things of the world? Did I spend more time in pleasure? Did I get my eyes on money? Did I get all these other things that the world offers? Did they get in place of God a little more this last year? Or did God start to rise up? Did I start to draw nigh to him, and did I start to build my relationship with him in 2024? What a question. Am I closer today to my God than I was in January last or this year? Do we love him more than we did? Next thing, is his word more or less in my life? His word, is it more or less in my life? Did I get into the habit of reading the scripture this year more than I've ever read it before? I mean, you know, the word of God is powerful. And we should be interested in reading it. Did I do that? You know, one of my purposes of having San Jacinto to read the New Testament throughout the year is that we all got a habit of reading the Bible. Now, I normally read faster than that, and I'm waiting to finish the book of Revelation so I can finish my reading for the year. I've already finished the Old Testament. Now I'm just hanging in that New Testament and waiting to get through the book of Revelation right now. But I'm going to tell you the purpose is that so that we get to read. I ask you this morning, how were his word? Was it more or less in our lives this year? I mean, you know, it should be a wonderful thing in our life. Did we meditate upon the Word of God in 2024? Did we take time and just chew on it? Have you ever had someone say something to you and you think, well, I wonder what they meant by that? I wonder what they meant by that. Sometimes we were singing in Stinnett one time, me and the Methodist preacher, at one of these Holy Week things, I think it was, and him and I, we sat and we sang a special together. And the little old lady with oxygen on, she says, you guys are good enough to go on the stage. And we kind of thought, wow, that's cool. And she said, yeah, the next stage out. And I wanted to pinch her little oxygen hose, turn it and put it into a 90. But she was just being funny. I knew the Methodist guy couldn't sing. But anyhow, but I'm just telling you today, sometimes we take words from other people and we sit there and meditate on them and we try to figure out was that a compliment or did they around behind me insult me somehow? Why can't we take the Word of God sometimes and meditate on it? Did we meditate on the Word of God in such a way? Get a verse and just let the Holy Spirit reveal it, cook it up for you, and let it be part of your life. Meditating upon the Word. Was that part of our life in 2024? Or did we practice the Word of God? Did we practice what the Word said? You know, it's one thing, James tells us this, not to be only hearers, but to be doers. Were we those people that were practicing the Word of God? You know, I remember practicing baseball, and sometimes it wasn't a good thing to practice. It was hard. It'd be 100 degrees outside and just a hard thing to practice, but we went to practice. Have you figured out sometimes it's difficult to practice the Word of God? Because sometimes the environment is very challenging for you. Did we practice the Word of God in 2024? You know, Psalms 119, 105, you've heard me say it many times. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need the Word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Where was the Word of God in 2024 in our lives? Where was the Word of God? I'm trying to move fast because I got a lot of these. Prayer life more or less. Prayer life more or less in 2024. Did we develop that daily thing in our life called prayer? Did we look like Daniel in the morning, at noon, and at the evening? Did we learn to pray for others and God's will to be done more than ourselves? Because that's what Matthew 6 says. Your will be done, Lord, not ours. How about prayer meetings? Where were they in our lives in 2024? Those times that the church comes together to pray. Bible says my house will be called a house of prayer. It never said it'd be a house of music, but a house of prayer. Where was our prayer life in 2024? Was it more or less than it was the year before that? Prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is the way we communicate to God. Prayer is where we get to tell God what's going on in our lives, and prayer is where God answers. Where is prayer? How about spirit life, more or less in our life? Spirit life. Do we find ourselves being led by the Spirit, being taught by the Holy Ghost, being filled? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Be ye not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit." Who is that to? That is just to the assembly of God. No, that is to every Christian. It says, I don't know why we get all bent out of shape trying to figure out how much wine we can drink and still make it to heaven when the Bible says, be not drunk on it. Why don't we just go to heaven being filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen? Be filled with the Spirit. I think I should be more concerned about having the Holy Spirit just saturate my life. How much in 2024 did we experience of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives? And even in the San Jacinto's church, this church of the Holy Spirit, how about being used by the Spirit in 2024? How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit speak to you? Come on, I know you all. It's not just me up here. I believe God speaks to His children. I believe God uses His children. And I believe He may use you in Walmart. He may use you in the school place. He may use you in your family as He speaks to you to say this or that. How much of being led by the Spirit did we have in our life this year? Being led by the Holy Spirit. How about walking in the Spirit? You know, often we give like an attaboy to those that may give a message in tongues, an interpretation. We say, oh, they're so spiritual. Or maybe someone that operates in the gifts of the Spirit, such as the gift of knowledge or the gift of wisdom or the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, and we look at them. But let me tell you something. You know what the most powerful thing I see is walking in the Spirit is when we walk in the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Come on, it can't get any better. Matter of fact, it's a little more difficult to walk in the Spirit. How did we do walking in the Spirit? You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it says this, against these, or against such, there is no law. That's walking in the Spirit toward one another. How did we do in 2024 of the Spirit in us and walking in the Spirit? Come on, we as Pentecostal people, we boast that we know the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Amen. We allow the gifts to move, but sometimes we can be the Andreas people. Oh, don't shout me down this morning. Come on. We can be the ones that can't take an insult. Never mind. We won't go there because I got a lot of more to go, but not preaching well. But I'm just saying, how well did we do walking in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit toward one another? Because listen, fruits are for those that come by you. Amen? Fruits are there. I remember growing up, there used to be cherry trees in my hometown. We loved cherries. I loved the ones that would get ripe like that and be dark red. And we would know, we knew where every cherry tree was in Spearman. Man, when cherry season came about, the fences didn't stop us. We'd go over and we'd grab some cherries. Till this one lady got wise and she put bells on her cherry trees. But I'm just saying today, fruit is made for picking, right? You just got to be picking in the right place. What we have is the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. We have walking in the Spirit. Way more important than the gifts in the Spirit if we can't walk in the Spirit, because it touches more people's lives than it will operating in the gifts. How do we do on the gifts of the Spirit in our life, or the fruit of the Spirit in our life today? Because it touches people's lives. Worship more or less. Worship's an interesting word. We find it in Romans 12:1. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with this," in the New Living Translation, "to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Talking about giving ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, laying ourselves down for his will, laying ourselves down for to be a servant to him. How well did we worship in 2024? I know what we did up here this morning. We sang, we worshiped God in song and in spirit. But how well did we worship God with who we are in 2024? How well did we do it? See, worship, the definition is an act of religion, devotion, and that involves loving, honoring, and obeying God. You know, every time I obey this word in my life, I just worship the Lord. Every time I apply this into my life, I worship the Lord. Every time I say yes to him, I worship the Lord. Worship is about my response to him, honoring and respecting, giving him reverence in my life. Obedience to God is an act of worship to him. How often have I done that? What place was his house? His local church in our lives in 2024. What place was his house, his local church in 2024? How did I support it in attendance in 2024? You know one thing COVID did? It messed up the attendance of church, and we're still suffering from 2020. Where was his house in 2024? You know, attendance. Did you know here at this church, we had around 158 services to attend. That's excluding department gatherings and connect groups. 158. It says we got the doors open quite often. Where was his house in 2024 when it comes to attendance? It's sad, listen, and I'm moving on. It's sad that when people call regular attendance of church one time a month. You know, can I say this morning? This church, us coming together locally, it's not about me. It's not about my preaching. It's not about the music. Coming together on Sunday morning, brothers and sisters together, is about God. About the Lord. That's it. It's about God. And coming and just praising and worshiping him and learning from his word. How did I support the church with tithe and offerings? How did I support his local church? How did I support his church by serving? I mean, you know, we are called to serve. Every one of us, not just 20% of the church body. Every one of us. How did we support the church by serving, finding an area to serve in his house? Because, see, it's quite evident that we're supposed to. How about the mission? Is it more or less in our lives, his mission? Are we sharing Jesus with people? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us that we have the ministry of reconciliation. You know what trumps my ministry as a pastor? is the ministry of reconciliation. You know who all is in that ministry of reconciliation? Every one of us. This side of the church, this part, that part, you that were watching online. Every one of us have the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Telling people about Jesus, giving them the opportunity to come back to the Lord and to have the Lord as their Savior. That ministry of reconciliation, is that the mission? Can I tell you something? If you was to put your hand on the neck of God, some of you nurses can do this a lot better than I am, but you would sit there and feel the heartbeat. You know what the heartbeat of God is? Every pulse is talking about missions. It's talking about that none should perish, that all should have life, all should have eternal life. I wonder how good did we do, even as a church in 2024, of sharing Jesus Christ, the mission of God. Did we do that? Hopefully, and it's sad, but most Christians can't say that they've ever won one person to the Lord. You know what gets me? When I work on somebody, getting them, working with them, and someone else leads them there. No. Hey, some water, some sow, right? I'm just happy they got saved. Or I'll work on someone, I think, all right, I'm going to get this whole family of six into San Jacinto. And then after all that work and prayer and all that, they go to another church. But we're all the family of God. Long as we're washed by the blood of Jesus, amen? By the blood of Jesus. So his mission, we're more or less, I get more excited about winning people. I'll tell you, there was nothing more exciting to me in watching the people coming down at Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. You know, the whole purpose of that was to share Jesus, but also for us to be able to minister to people. So I ask you, there's more that I could talk about our relationship with God and how is it better now than it was at the first. But I ask you this morning, on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you say, where are you at? Where am I at on some of these areas of my life? You know, I've always found in a survey, I may do well on one part, but I stink at the other. Am I the only one? That I rate good here, but I don't rate so well here, and some are in the middle. I always get those interview things a lot of times, especially when someone's getting credentials in the district, and they'll say, hey, on a scale here, how would you rate this person? And I'm thinking, you know how he talked to me last time. Whoop! But they're trying to figure out, honestly, and that's why they send it to people. They'll even send it to people they don't really know but just have an acquaintance, trying to figure out where they're at. And I think sometimes we need to take a moment for self-examination of where are we with God. Now listen, what's a beautiful thing about God is that he blesses us throughout, either way. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But where are we when we talk about things with God on the scale from 1 to 10? Where would we be? Next question. How was my relationship with others in 2024? Why does that matter? I'm going to tell you why it matters. Because we are the light. We are the light. What light? We are the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to share into this world. We are told to be the light unto this world. We are told to, from the hilltop, we are told to be light to this world. So how was my relationship with others in 2024? First thing, how did I interact with those around me? How did I interact with those around me? All of us are around different people in our lives. We all have different inner circles, outer circles, and those that we just bump into occasionally. All those that are in our work environment in different places. How did I interact with those around me? There's a song out there today, and I listened to it on K-Love or maybe Air One. But the name of the song, The Jesus Way. And so I just want to read a few lyrics. It says, if you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. If you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you. Then there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sins. I gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I will embrace you. If you chain me, I will sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is in heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. I hear those verses, and it challenges me in my relationships. How did I interact with those around me in 2024? How did I respond to those negative situations? How did I respond to my family? How did I respond to the lost? How did I respond to the poor and the hungry? How about my family, the one that knows me the best? How about my church family? Did I choose the Jesus way in 2024? Come on, those are some powerful verses, but let me tell you something. They present a challenge in our lives. Because the truth is, it's not what I think of myself and how I responded. How did I respond? Because sometimes I think, you know, I've noticed parents sometimes think their kids a lot better than they are. So my proverb says, let someone else sing their praises. I was told, hey, you need to come watch my daughter run track. She's the fastest girl around, last place. I think, Dad, take that off. But sometimes we think we responded, but did we truly respond to our situations in the Jesus way of those that are around us? Did we respond on how Jesus would respond in 2024? My friend, it's a challenge. That song in itself, it sounds great, but my friend, I wonder. I'm one of those type of guys like my Pastor Ray used to when we sang I Want a Mansion Over the Hilltop, and he's saying, and you know, the verse says, just a little silver and a little gold. He says, that's baloney. People want more than a little silver than a little gold. He had a hard time believing that, but let me tell you something today. When we compare relationships, I think it's a great song just to sit there and see what we did, 0 to 10. Did we respond in the Jesus way to the things that happen in our life in 2024? How are my actions toward others? You know, 1 John 3:18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The word deed means in the way we correspond, the works that we do. Let us respond accordingly. A San Francisco man inched his car between two others in a supermarket lot, squeezed his way out, and came back to find a note on his windshield. The note said this, I hope one of these days you get pregnant and someone parks that close to you. Come on. Talks about actions. How do we consider that person we don't even know? How do we look at the actions that we do towards somebody? Oh, they don't go to church, so it doesn't really matter what I do to them. How was our actions toward others in our lives? Did we do what God would have us to do, or did we just do our own thing and never think about what it would do to others? Actions. I'm not trying to bring us down. I'm just trying to get us to do a good inventory this morning of how we responded in 2024. Did our actions take in others into consideration? And I get it, there's those moments that we don't think about the whole circle. Were my manners pleasing to God? Whoa. Were my manners pleasing to God when they got my order wrong at Chicken Express? I ordered 3 pieces of spicy and they gave me 4. Was my manners right? Because sometimes we just go and we think, oh, it doesn't matter how I treated that person that's working on just barely wages and getting tips. How were my manners in 2024? Because see, We need to be godlike. Next one, how was my tongue? How about that tongue? How about that tongue? You know, the Bible says this in James 3, 9 and 10. It's the best book on tongue. It says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Out of the same mouth, tongue. You know, James says it's a powerful thing. It's no man can tame it. It's like this little thing that controls the boat. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What fruit? Whether you're bringing life or you're bringing death, you'll eat it. 2024, did I defend a person that was being slandered by other people? Did I say something like, I don't want to hear that about that person, or did I give them an ear? In 2024, where was my tongue at when it came to hearing gossip? You know what gossip is? It's sitting and talking about someone else behind their backs, about things you don't even know that are really true, or things that you think may be true, but the thing is, you're talking about somebody else. Gossip is talking about somebody. The Bible calls it busybody. Being a busybody around. Proverbs says you get rid of the gossip, you get rid of the trouble. Why? Because they're always talking about somebody. A gossiper, you can be in the circle, you can be there, and as soon as you walk out, you're the topic of the subject, or the subject of the topic. You're the subject. Let's just leave it at that. Gossip, talking about somebody, about things they really don't know, or rumors that they've heard. Come on, did you get into a gossip circle where you walk in and that's all they're doing is gossiping about other people? My friend, that is not of God. It's an easy thing. The Bible says it's like these tasty little things, or it's a wonderful taste. It's like my favorite pastime is to talk about Megan. Just kidding. Gossip circles. Oh, they don't exist in the church. I beg to differ with you. They can do a lot of damage to a church body when we don't learn, when we are talking about other people. Gossip. The Proverbs 20:19 says this, do not associate with a gossip. Don't have anything to do with somebody who's going to talk about someone else all the time. Romans 12:9 says, and 2 Corinthians 12:20 also says, condemns gossip as a result of depraved mind and unfitting for the Christian. Just bringing it all together. Where was my tongue at in 2024? Did I bless those with my, did I speak life or did I speak death? Did I stand up for those that were being slandered? Or what did I do? Or did I join in with all the gossip? You know, men are funny. We call it fixing things. Yeah, we call it different. But the fact is, gossip is gossip. When you're talking, there's those moments you have to do something to fix things, but most of the time you're just talking about somebody when we really shouldn't. How about those who had a beef with us, or those we had a beef with in 2024? Simply, those that had a problem with us, or those that we had a problem with. How do we handle those things? You know, I'll be honest, 2024 presented me several challenges this year. In every life, we have people that we have some difficult times. But how did we handle those difficult times? Did we listen for places of improvements for ourselves? Because I figured out this one thing, that sometimes when people have a problem with me, there's maybe an area, there's going to be an area probably for me to improve. Or maybe it's just some insight I didn't, or something I didn't really pay attention to. But the thing about, did we listen? Did we take a moment and listen to what was being said? And truthfully step back and examine. Can I tell you something? Everything has criticism. Everything has criticism, and everyone, I heard this, it may not be true, but everybody has an opinion. Did I listen to what's being said beyond the stuff that was not true and maybe glean something that would help me be a better person or be better at what I do? And did I ask when someone had problems and I realized I had an issue or something was wrong, did I ask them for forgiveness? Or did I say something like, well, that's your opinion? How did I handle those that had a beef with me last year? Or how did we handle those that had a beef? Or how did I handle those that I had problems with or you had problems with? Was it the way God would have me to do it? Or did we refuse to listen and respond back in an unchristian manner? Did we respond in a godly manner or ungodly with those that maybe we had a beef with? Did we go in love? Did we go, hey, brother or sister, this is an issue. How did we do this? Did we respond in a godly way? You know, the Bible tells us how to handle relationships. It doesn't tell me to go and tell somebody off. I get people have bad days. But when they're bad days, the consistent thing in their life and the way they treat people, something's wrong. How do we handle those moments in our lives? Did we go in love? I can tell you a story of two ladies in the church got crossways at one another. And the Bible says, you know, take a gift to them. Well, this one took a dozen eggs, put it down on the counter, and laid into her with her tongue. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. But how do we handle those that we have problems with? Did we do it the proper way? I'm just saying today that sometimes we need to look back and see really how we conducted our lives as Christians. Pastor Oliver, if you'll come. I'll ask you this morning, even when our personal relations, how did we do with others? How about our relationship with others? On a scale from 1 to 10, how was my relationship with others in 2024? How did I do? How did we do in 2024? If you're like me, there were some challenging moments, but how did we do? Did we work through some things, got the victory? Because everything's not instant. Have you figured out everything's not instant in the Word of God? Loving your neighbor is not instant. It's when they do what you tell them. No, just God works things out in our lives. So I ask you on a scale, how did we perform? How did we do in those moments? See, I can go back to January. I can go to February. I can go all the way through in my mind and think, how did I respond there? How was my relationship with God there? How did I relate with others? Because literally, when I look back, I don't do that just to bring myself down or pat myself on the back. I do that because I want to learn. Because I figured out something about myself, and I don't know about you, but I figured out that I'm not perfect. My wife figured that out after a year. I may not even been a year. But I'm just saying today, sometimes we look at ourselves as if we're perfect in everything we do in Christianity. I beg to differ with you because all of us got flaws and all of us make shortcomings in our lives. And that's the beauty of it, is that we are in this learning process. But if I'm not willing to learn, then I will never get better. If I'm not willing to honestly look back in 2024 and see how I was with God and how I was others, and you know, there would be some moments of praise God, I was like I was supposed to be, and there's some moments that I wasn't. And the whole idea is that I learn from that. That I don't go through and I don't want people saying, well, that's just the way he is. Because when that's tagged to you, that means you've got a problem and you don't even see it yourself. But everybody else sees it around you. That's a sad thing, my friend. Because see, if everybody can see the problem, guess who from heaven's looking down and sees the problem also? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if I'm going to learn, if I'm going to improve, I've got to truly take an earnest look of my life in 2024. And I got to think, oh man, God, I thank you for the things that were right. But God, please help me with the things that were wrong. Why? So that I can be a better pastor. So I can be a better man, a better husband, a better friend. Because that should be every one of our desires this morning. But I'm not about to say, hey, I was perfect last year and everybody else had issues. Doesn't even make sense. I learned a long time ago when you really want to get serious about your finances, it starts out by looking at what you've been spending in the past and writing them down honestly and figuring out where the issues are. $7 for a cup of coffee. Tootin totem every day. If you really want to change your finances, you got to look back and be sincere about it in order to come up with a plan. We call it a budget. And what is that going to do? Get on the budget. It's going to improve. It's the same thing. If we're going to get better in our Christian walk, we've got to take moments to have that self-examination in our lives in order to do better. I'm not preaching to condemn anybody. Maybe I'm just preaching at myself this morning. But I'm wanting to share with you, how do we become better Christians? By learning from the past and listening. You may get a 10 in one area, I may get a 10 in one area, and I may get a 0 in another area. The thing is, this is the beauty of it. Are you still breathing this morning? I see most of you are still awake. The beauty of this is that we have time to change. Come on. If there's any New Year resolution you want to make for 2025, God, just help me to be a better person. Help me to be closer to you and help me to have right relationships in my life. See, I personally want to improve in 2025 in all these areas. All these areas in my life. You know what I found out? There's some things that I can't do on my own. And sometimes I don't realize I'm doing it wrong until I take that self-examination. But I can tell you this much. As much as I found God in certain things in my life, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that I know that my power is not on this earth, but my power comes down from heaven, that I'm able to do anything that God would want me to do. And I'm saying today that God can help us to be the man and the woman that he would want us to be as Christians. But it all starts with taking inventory. Psalms 139, verse 23, New Living Translation, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." What a passage, what a verse to say. But I ask you this morning in this house, how many, and you that are watching online this morning, how many of us would dare to say, "Search me, O God. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Help me, God, to be a better person. Help me, God. Help me to see areas that I need improvement on in my life." Because see, we want to be better. We want to be better for God. God wants us to be better. I just want to take a moment. Altars are open. You may want to pray in your seat. wherever, but would you take a moment this morning and say, God, I just want to honestly ask you, show me the places. Show me my shortcomings in 2024. Help me, God, not just to point them out, but help me, God, to be better at what you've called me to do. Would you do that? Altars are open if you want to sit there in a chair. I know I didn't think I was going to bring that long, but you can't have me that many subtitles and not go over this. So would you do that? Altars are open. Would you be honest before God just for a moment as Pastor sings here just for a second? And come to the altars. We got time. Hey, we got a few minutes to come down and just talk to God and say, God, search me this morning. Help me, Father. Point out things in my life, God, that I need improvement.